Welcome everyone for the English medium discussion. Today Venerable Chandaratana is not there, but instead Venerable Dhammalankara can read the singular as well as meaning, and then Dhammosada Venerable can read the English version of the due discourse today assigned, and accordingly we can continue with the session. But if you have any other circumstantial, timely thing to be discussed, we'll take few minutes at the beginning, and then we are going to start with the traditional sutta.
Avasarai Bante, nothing from this end.
Good, thank you.
I have a question about Pindapat. Yeah. I'm not very hungry at this the last few days, so I skipped it twice, you know, just eating some fruit and rasang. And I feel better for it. Is it okay to skip the Pindapata sometimes?
So this is a common phenomena whereby that most of the sensuous, sense-based desires will be calmed down. It can happen. And when that is happening, if you noticed, you are well off. So Mahasi Sayadaw Swaminasi indicates the many people participating, even in Burma, are fairly elderly people. They never expected to have that kind of deep meditation, but the Mahasi Sayadaw launched them. And when it is happening, they feel detached. Detached from all the eating, seeing, musical listening, dancing, and association with people. And these things will be sometimes happen with effort, sometimes effortlessly happening. So when happens, many elderly people stop eating. Ultimately, body will be weak. But for this meditation, you need energy. I mean, walking meditation and the nutrimental support. So therefore, if there is such a thing happen, please report them in an interview report. So teacher also can take part to see whether it is a kind of a exaggeration of a small thing or is it a full-fledged reality. So therefore, you must take care about your body. It has to have your normal breathing, brushing and eating and that kind of a thing. That is why we have a schedule. We have a day-to-day routine and you are just adhere to that. But reduction of something is somewhat tolerable, but don't stop at the time quickly. Then it will be abrupt. It will be very harsh. And it may be exaggeration of the small thing into big one. That happened through hate. That is usually that happened through hate. That's called kama attakilamatana yoga. Atme klamate karna. You are going to wilt, wean, or you're going to cull off. Maybe affecting your normal day-to-day health. So take care and do it in a gradual way. Don't take a drug. But this is not happening for young children. For them, even if it is happening, they can't do it because senses are growing, accumulating. So at that time, they don't care. I mean, they don't report even, that doesn't matter. Some or the other, they eat. They have a bath. They have cleaning and kind of thing. But Mahasi Sayadaw attributed that to the fairly elderly person. I am attributing it to you. You are an old croc, old fellow. So it's a good topic. Thank you. Okay, now we are going to go to the today's topic.
Avasarai Swaminasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Sanyutta Nikaya, Palamuna Potha, Saghatana Vagya, Satulla Kaika Vagya, Ujjana Sanni Sutra. Ekang Samayam Bhagava, Savattiyang Viharati, Jetavane Anatha Pindikas Arame, අතකෝ සම්බහුලා උජ්ජාන සංඤිකා දේවතායෝ අභික්කන්තාය රත්තියා අභික්කන්ත වන්නා කේවල කප්පං ජේතවනං ඕබාසෙත්වා යේන භගවා තේනුප සංකමින්සු උපසංකමිත්වා වේහාසං අට්ඨහංසු වේහාසං ටිතාකෝ ඒකා දේවතා භගවතෝ සන්තිකේ ඉමං ගාතං අභාසි අඤ්ඤතා සන්ත මත්තානං අඤ්ඤතායෝ පවේදයේ නිකච්ච කිත වස්සේව බුද්ධං තෙයේන තස්ස තං එක් කලෙක භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සවැත් නුවර සමීපෙහි ජේතවන නම් වූ අනේපිඩු සිටුහුගේ අරම්හි වැඩවසන සේක එකල මනා චවිවර්ණ ඇති බොහෝ වූ උජ්ජාන සංඤික දේවතාවෝ රැ පෙරයම ඉක්ම ගිය කල්හි මුළු දෙවුරම බබළුවා භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ වෙත එළඹියහ එළඹ අහසෙහි සිටියහ අහසෙහි සිටි එක් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථාව කීය යම් මහණෙක් අන් අයුරකින් පවත්නා තමා අන් අයුරකින් ඇත්සැටි වලහා වරහන් ඇතුලේ ඇත්සැටි වලහා ප්‍රකාශ කරන්නේද ලිහිණි වැද්දාගේ වරහන් ඇතුලේ ලිහිණි මස් කෑම මෙන් ඔහු විසින් ඒ සිව්පසය වංචායෙන් රවටා හොරකමින් අනුභව කරන ලද්දේය
Asai Swami Nuhan say, the name of this sutta has been translated as Fault Finders from Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation of the Sanghita Nikaya. Fault Finders. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Savati in Jetus Grove, Anathapindika's park. Then, when the night had advanced, a number of fault-finding devatas of stunning beauty, illuminating the entire Jetus Grove, approached the Blessed One and stood in the air. Then one devata, standing in the air, recited this verse in the presence of the Blessed One. If one shows oneself in one way, while actually being otherwise, what one enjoys is obtained by theft, like the gains of a cheating gambler. Another devata said, One should speak as one would act. Don't speak as one wouldn't act. The wise clearly discern the person who does not practice what he preaches.
Bhagava Bhagyotun Hanse Yanhi Kaira Tanhi Vade Yanna Kaira Netang Vade Akoron Thang Basa Mana Nang Patijananti Panditati Yamak Karanne Nam Eyama Kiyanneya යමක් නොකරන්නේ නම් එය නොකියන්නේය කියන්නවුන් අතුරෙන් නොකරන්නහු පණ්ඩිතයෝ දැනගනිත් නයිදං බාසිත මත්තේන ඒකාන්ත සවනේනවා අනුක්කමිතවේ සක්කා යායම් පටිපදා දල්හා යාය ධීරා පමුච්ඡන්ති ජායිනෝ මාර බන්දනා යම් මේ ප්‍රතිපදායෙක් දැඩිද ධ්‍යාන කරන සුළු පණ්ඩිතයෝ යම් ප්‍රතිපදායකින් මාර බන්ධනයෙන් මිදෙද්ද මේ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය කතිත මාත්‍රයකින් හෝ ශ්‍රවණ මාත්‍රයකින් හෝ පිළිපදින්නට නොහැකිය. නවේ ධීරා පකු භන්ති විදිත්වා ලෝක පරියායන් අඤ්ඤාය නිබ්බුතා ධීරා තින්නා ලෝකේ විසත්ති කන්ති සංස්කාර ලෝකයාගේ උදයව්‍ය ස්වභාවය දැන වරහන් ඇතුලේ චතුත් සත්‍ය අවබෝධ කොට ලෝකෙහි විසත්තිකා නම් වූ තෘෂ්ණාව තරණය කළා වූ වරහන් ඇතුලේ ක්ලේශ පරිනිර්වාණයෙන් පිරිණියා වූ පණ්ඩිතයෝ ඒකාන්තයෙන් මෙසේ නොකෙරෙත්.
Then the Blessed One responded, Not by mere speech, nor solely by listening, Can one advance on this firm path of practice by which the wise ones, the meditators, are released from bondage of Mara? Truly, the wise do not pretend, for they have understood the way of the world. By final knowledge, the wise are quenched. They have crossed over attachment to the world. Then those devatas, having alighted in the air, prostrated themselves with their heads at the Blessed One's feet and say to the Blessed One, A transgression overcame us, Venerable Sir. Being so foolish, so stupid, so unskillful that we imagined we could assail the Blessed One. Let the Blessed One pardon us for our transgression seen as such for the sake of restraint in the future. Then the Blessed One displayed a smile. Those devatas, fault-finding to an even greater extent, then rose up in the air. One devata recited this verse in the presence of the Blessed One. If one does not grant pardon to those who confess transgression, angry at heart, intent on hate, one strongly harbors enmity.
So we'll take it to the discussion. Otherwise, it will be a long sutta. It will take 1 hour to just to listen to Pali. So I will give a related story, of course, in the Sutta Pitaka, and then we can understand the gravity of this sun, or how can we incorporate that into our monastic life, mendicant life, or meditator's life. One day, one person from the other sect came to the Venerable Ananda and to ask. There are a lot of, at that time, there were 6 more teachers together with the Buddha. And they also have a lot of followers. And this particular person also, one of the disciples of the other, one other tradition, denomination. And he had kind of a doubt, and he come and asked Venerable Ananda, how one can select a good teacher or good dispensation. Good monastic life. Because once you are selected, you have to plunge into that and kind of thing. And Venerable Ananda says, whenever you are observing the world, you see this teacher has so much of disciples, so, and Buddha also among one of the people. And when you go there, they should have some followers already with the teacher, then you are safe. You are not the first follower. Then you are running at a risk. So when you go there, you can see not only the teacher, but the disciples also. So you see, once you see this clan of or group of disciples, see even one person except the teacher achieved some of the results. Among the disciples, they should have some role models, good disciples. Then you know he is not the teacher, he is a disciple. I am also a disciple. I can just follow him as a role model because he has already gained complete or partial results. So therefore, you are not the first disciple. Second thing, you are observing whether disciples are following the teacher and they have, whether they got results. If it is so, you are safe enough. And the third one, see, while observing whether teacher is telling what he is doing what he is telling. Yathavadi, tathakari, yathakari, tathavadi. If you can be with the teacher in order to observe whether he is preaching something and doing something, or whether he is preaching the same as doing. If it is so, you are still safer. And that is the way you can verify in a social sense. Then you can invest upon that teacher and get into that clan, get into that sect. And that is how it happened. But Venerable Ananda never say, please follow Buddha, please follow Dhamma, please follow Sangha. He says, these are the criteria. It's Ajivaka Sutta. And Upanita Sayadaw is so lucidly explain it. When we are running a meditation center, teacher must be in a position, he is telling what he is doing. He is doing what he is telling. The jokes are there in Burma. Nichang anichanti vadanti samana ghatampi binde kalahang karonti. This is some Pali verses, very common in Sangha jokes. There is a very classic book, about 1,000 years old. Very difficult to translate because it is in a pun, word play. And says, usually monks in the temples and the in the monastery, they are always teach children, disciples, this everything is impermanent. Everything is impermanent. Always he is telling that. He is telling permanently, everything is impermanent. But if the disciple or his assistant is breaking a clay pot, he hit the fellow. Clay pot is a very cheap one, and his assistant or attendant break the pot. The anichang is not applicable, he hit the fellow. So that is how the jokes. And dānīna sīdēna samādhapenti harita kandampi parannadenti. Always telling, please be generous. Please be virtuous. And talking, evening to the morning to the evening, generosity. But he himself never give even a myrobalan seed to someone. Myrobalan is something like that, you keep it in the mouth, so keep the throat. Oh, it's very cheap. He is eating. Never give it to someone. He is preaching about generosity. These are the fun stories, but what they are telling is not they are doing. What they are doing is not they tell. Yathavadi tathakari. So then you can understand how much am I a cheater, cheating. I am happy to do it a perfect way, but not possible. Sometimes I desire and sensuous urgency or motivation, let me do it this way. And then ultimately I appear in the society as a perfect person. So Yogavachara, that means mendicants, are utterly facing this question. All the other people are not responsible, so they don't care. But we have sati, we have mindfulness, so always we have self-criticism, self-censoring. And then we find, of course, it is not done, but I have already done. I have already taken the precept not to do it, but I have done. So he start regretting or remorse. What is the answer? Answer is the confession. You go to another virtuous person or the teacher telling, I'm sorry that I have taken that precept, it's broken or partially broken because I have done it. So please let me confess. So confession is the living Dhamma. That is the, you can't be 100%. You can't be 100% wrong also. So you are in between. So if you are regretting, your mendicant and meditative life will be ruining. Because you are self-curse. But you have to confess. I'm sorry that I have taken this precept, but I not strong enough to manage it. I bruise, I break. So therefore, please confess. So this is confession, papocharanya, papa desana, or we should in Theravada tradition, we simply call desana. We go to another high ordained monk and confess. Sorry, I have done this and that, please. The other monk is advised, whether senior or junior, please behave well in time to come. And then he promised, and at the foot of another meditator and the ordained monk, yes, I will try my best. So he is now slowly understanding his mistakes. He has confessed, he has shared with others, and there are chances in time to come, so that you can do it and remedy. You can confess. What about not to do it? Rather than therapeutic, what about preventative? So when you are in a agreed society, when you are in a mendicant society, lot of chances are there for you to correct it. But in the Bible, it says if you have done something wrong, you have to confront the final judgment. Final judgment is everlasting. No chances. But the Buddha is also having a judgment, but it's a temporary, and you are given a chance in time to come, you either get a worse or better. And your co-practitioners are observing you. You know it. More than that, your mindfulness is very, very servilian. Observe it. If you are wrong, if you are a rogue behind a robe, you will increase tension, frustration, disappointment, self-curse. Then you are leading to tension, frustration, hysteria, and trauma, bipolar, schizophrenia. So many people, while meditating, they run mad. Not that meditation is sending you mad. Usually mad people are meditating. They are the people going to monasteries and they are meditating. Ultimately it surfaces. Psychological wounds happen. So meditation centers should understand, specifically the teachers, when you are practicing, you are confronted with the ego, super ego. And in front, super ego is your teacher and the Dhamma is the reflector. And you are meeting, met up with. And if you do not have willpower, definitely you will ruin. Wherever may be, in the monastery, you at home, no problem. But this chance, you are taking a chance, is called correct livelihood. In time to come, not only taking care about the healing and therapeutic, but preventative. Prevention. Take the co-practitioners as well as the mindfulness as a mirror or as a CCTV camera. Let everything be recorded. And if you have action replay, slow motion, you can see how much I have done intentionally, how much it happened to my habituation, directed dispositions. If it is by habituation and the directed disposition, you are excused. But if you have done intentionally, you have accepted. You have to get the punishment. It is not a hatred. That is the way you are going to live a virtuous life day by day. It is not overnight. It is not black and white. It is not 1 hour, one event situation. It is a gradual development. So therefore, this Devata is making a black and white. Buddha is making gray area. Those who wish to correct themselves, they get 1001 chances. And Buddha is giving enormous pardon. But the not meditating people or short-tempered people will decide. No, no, he must not be with us. He is such a cheating person, blah, 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 blah. But yes, it is true if he is not confessing. If he is confessing, you have to give a chance. It is called non-coerciveness. Appannaka patipada, aviruddha patipada, not finding fault with others, not critical, and see other mistakes, others' mistake, and get angry is your mistake. It is not their mistake. So you also get a chance. You have not given any post or position of a judge. If you decide upon others, the evil one, the Satan, will decide upon you. That's what the Jesus says. Yamekgana vinishya kiruvat, the yakshya ambo vinishya karna. Don't decide. Take the book and say, what is the mistake you have done? If it is so, these are the rules and regulations. I have nothing against you. I have no any love to you. It's the book. But good that at least expressed. Oh, good that you have came to the interview. Good that you came to the discussion. And then you are learning. So from today onward, till you die, enough chances you have neuroplasticity. Your brain is not a hardwired circuit. It can be adjusted, but it's happening very slow. Painfully slow. So anyone who is having to happy with or unhappy with me, you have any comments? I am cordially inviting.
Masai Swami Nuhansi, it is usually said that when you are finding fault with others, then you have an opportunity to see the faults in yourself. Yes, I heard one analogy recently about being hooked. if you're finding fault in others, then you are allowing yourself to be hooked to theirs. So that means you're like a hook, like this, and other people's shortcomings, other people's wrongdoings, if you become angry with them, then you get hooked to them like that. However, if there's no hook for you, then you cannot find problems with other people. So therefore, you cannot get hooked to them. I thought that was a very helpful analogy. I think you know about it.
No, there's one very nice story. Exactly the same. In a town, something like Kurunagal, all the roads are coming and it's a hub. Kurunagal is a central place, all the main roads are coming. From where Kurunagal, everywhere you can go. And there was a water body and one person is putting catch fish, is waiting. Occasionally he take the fishing rod and see there's no hook but the needles is there. But it's waiting again and again looking and person passing by told, hey guy, if you wish a fish, have a hook. Don't try with the needle. He look at the fellow and again put the hand patiently waiting. And he went to the vendor and told that guy is waiting and I told he can't understand. He also went there. I tell, I am happy that you are here with us in our village, in our town. But if you are interested in fishing, the needle won't do. You have to put a hook with a bait. But he's not asking. Then he went to the village headman, told that such a joke is happening. He can't understand. He look at us and he never talk and he's just waiting. Village headman also came and told. He don't care. He never answer. He just look at it and just put this thing. And he went to the area secretary. He also busy. But it's coming from the rumor is coming. He went there and told nothing. When the government agent came. Area. He came with the horse riding and told, I heard that blah 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 is telling that I saw that is true. Raise your stick. Rod. Yes, it's a needle. He said, it won't work. You have to have a hook. So he is looking at it. Ultimately went to the king. It's a long story now. King also came with the parade and all the drums and kind of thing, and when they, I told, I am very happy that you are within our jurisdiction, but I have to tell, many people mention, but you have not heed, so therefore I am telling, why you are putting a needle? No, I am not doing for fishing. I wanted to catch a king. That's why I put a needle. If I put a hook, I will get this fishy smell. Fish. I am not. Now king got hooked. So if you wish to have something, you have to be crooked. You have to be a hook. You have to be sharp. How do you call Shylock Holmes? No. A Jewish fellow is asking for the 1 kilo of fish meat. Shakespeare is the writer, but Shylock. So people are always waiting for something small, something partial. So he had to have a hook. Hook is always bringing something inferior, something hooked one, crooked one. But if you are putting a needle, the ultimatum will come, the Creator God will come. And he will come and say, what the fool you are doing? No, I am not waiting for years and days for this fish. If it is so, I would have taken. I am waiting for a king. So the Buddha says, if you raise a needle like that and pour any amount of sand, any amount of mustard seed, nothing will remain here. But if you put it drop it in the horizontal, then put sand, it will cover. So as far as the mindfulness is up there, no defilement can remain. Hook is erected. Defilements are coming. Sand, dust or chaff or mustard seed, nothing will happen. So therefore, as far as you are not mindful, you are crooked. So to be mindful is not costly. It's not asking any formulas. It is not asking any equipments. Asking nor any experience also. It's inbuilt. So it's a matter of keeping the mindfulness erect. Otherwise, you get hooked to a hook. As you mentioned, if you are straight, whatever the thing happen, it will net. So Buddha says, it is the weaver or the knitting girl. She knows how to put the hook and put two clothes together. But the needle can't do it. Only the thread following the needle only can do it. Needle is such a one. The cloth has to mend according to the needle. Once the needle gone, the thread come and put the knot. So it is the weaver or the stitching girl is the tanha. To understand, as far as you are straight, no one can come. They will come and play. And nothing to worry. So lucky enough, we have some thought moments of mindfulness. So we can verify. While we are mindful, can I find my fault with myself? Then you are not mindful. Can you find fault with others? Then you are not mindful. Are you dissatisfied about the situation? Boredom, monotony, then you are not mindful. Are you thinking about the pedantic situation whereby no, nothing wrong thing happen, everything must be happen, so I must make a paradise or utopia? So then you are not mindful. You are fool. Under this chaotic situation, complicated situation, you can be straightforward. So that straightforwardness is not the Buddha. It's not from Buddha. It's your birthright. You have. But our teachers and parents are make you crooked. They think it's colorful, very artistic, and therefore it's a straight line is boring. It's going to the infinitum. But if it's crooked, it will come back and make a circle, come back to the same, then it is you. It is your jurisdiction. And you have a center. So, Ken Wilber is writing a book, No Boundaries. He says, if the line is straight, the center is infinitum, leading to infinitum. When it will become crooked, it's projecting, and there is a projecting a center, egocentric. If it's too crooked, very close circles, very difficult, very easy to show. But when you are low, slowly, 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 slowly become straightened, people find no center. People find no aim close by. It is in the infinitum. People say you are mad. Mad, 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 mad world. So we try our best to satisfy this mad world. Then you are not telling what you are doing. Then what you are not doing, what you are telling. Ask them to send kites. Mind your own business at least 5 minutes a day. Within 1 hour, if 5 minutes are there with this deductive knowledge, with this inferential knowledge, you can verify it. Not to the Buddha, not to the teacher, not to your relatives, to yourself. I am under the impression each one of us have that verification momentary. Temporary. That's enough. That is one, slowly, slowly, the crooked one slowly, slowly, slowly become straightened. So there are a lot of saint stories, a lot of Christian, Catholic and religious stories about this. But day by day people become very, very crooked. And after a while they are eating their tail. This is what happening, global warming. That's happening in the defiling and pollution. So when you go to Colombo, smell the smoky. We went to beach and bad smell. Heat, all pollution. we were buried down in the sand. What sun? And you get a bad smell. It's not fishy. But the beach itself polluted. So that is the way we are eating our own tail. We are in such a generation. Our parents were not so observant. They did not see it. They left a good atmosphere for us. We, together with our companions, we are eating like anything, becoming crooked like anything, from the top to the bottom, from the first world country to the third world country. Everyone is doing the same. I don't blame political leaders. The citizens are crooked. They have been punished. They don't feel it. They don't understand what we are doing is not what we are telling. I mean, no one can do it. It's a different issue. At least a try. And not we are doing what we are telling. That is called the ascetic life or celibate life. Don't take it seriously. We have taken fairly and we are continuing. Any other comment or any other idea? Tap the mic and see.
In the sutta.
Can't hear.
In the sutta, the fault-finding devas, were they trying to find fault with the Buddha and then had to confess that transgression, or were they making a general statement, just being critical?
No, some devas are finding fault with the Buddha also. Because the Mara, have you heard about the Mara, just like Satan, is a deva. Mara also in a Paranimita Vasavati celestial level. He also deva. He often come like a friend and be friendly with the Buddha, stab you. There Mara Sanghita is will come next. After the Sagata Vagya, this one, Deva Putra Sanghita, then Mara Sanghita, we are dealing it in the Thursday. One after the other. Directly with the Buddha, sometimes with the disciples. They come and say, what the hell you all are doing? Be happy, entertain, indulge senses. What are you doing? You can't, because I have spread the net everywhere. Wherever you go, you are caught up. Buddha says, okay, I know who are talking, you are. Who are you talking? And the way I have gone, even you can trace my path, just like a bird flew in the air. You can't see where I am going. So how can we put into the rational word? How can we put into the theory? It is no theory. If there is a theory, Mara will catch you. You know, thermal missiles is catching along the heat. What do you call heat sensitive missile? So when the jet is going, it is leaving a hot air column. When it go there and hot air, they meet it and it go along the hot air. More than the speed of the jet. And go and directly hit to the jet engine. Because it is leaving a column of air. It's leaving a cyclone, of course. That cyclone is hot air. That's why the plane is pushing forward. The heat sensitive this thing is like that. Sometimes it is catching the sound. Sometimes the heat, if you are making sound, you are caught up. If you are making wear and tear and friction, heating, you are making a path. Then Mara can trace you. Silently, mindfully, slowly. No heat, no sound, and you are a frictionless path. No one can trace you. So that is called vipassana. Anything traceable, is still maybe meditation we call samatha. This is a path. For vipassana, no traces. No one can trace. So there's no character. There's no character type. We just do circumstantially, not leaving any marks. Just like a wind. When the wind is going through the forest, no marks. But elephant can't go because they're hitting something. Army battalion can't go through the forest because they wanted to have a clear path. that the wind going up, going side and everything, refreshing the forest, no sign. So these are explained in Zen Buddhism. So whenever we are developing a character, very easy for the Mara to trace you. He is having 1001 tactics to tackle you. Only you have to show off yourself. Egotism. The arrogance. Reacting with things. And Isaac Newton says, whenever you are alone in the space, you are always straight or going through the shortest cut. Unless something come and hit you. When you hit, you change the path. Action to the reaction, equal. The Buddha says, normal person is already enlightened, is a bright. You are doing all crooked things because of the defilements came from outside and they are in the superficial area, so you are no more bright. People can see defilements, you also can see defilements because you are in the further stain at the peripheral level. But in the center, bright, ever bright. So even the Karl Marx says, human beings are naturally good, they became crooked because of the class difference. Action, so thesis, antithesis and synthesis. You are in a thesis, antithesis will come and hit you, then something off the path, synthesis can happen. So science is entertaining, this is a research. Bloody fools, greater mad fellows. Be simple. This is the biggest thing. No global warming, no, how do you call it? Pollution, I mean, can happen minimum. Instead, if you are going to be smart, going to do research, you are, one day you will eat your own tail. Now it is happening. We are in such a area, such a historical time, when our parents are lucky or unlucky, they have passed away without seeing that. And our children have no chances to see it because they are already caught up. We are in the lucky situation. Situation is very, very, how do you call it, critical. So therefore, don't think that I can do without a friction. Then it's again the egotism. But don't try to do the same foolishness. Still egotism. Day by day, try to slowly improve. That can happen. That we have done. We are very successful. We are very advanced in that sense. We don't know. So in the discussion, we can be happy about our past, the time we invested upon mindfulness, spirituality, and we individually came to this path. We have never came hand in hand. We search it. But still we do not know it is the best place. We do not know is this the best meditation object. We do not know which is, this is the best path. Till the death you can verify it. We have a few minutes. If you are having any other comments or remarks, we can take time. Otherwise, we will try to read the balance of the sutta.
So, I'm seeing what's happening in the political landscape back in my country, and there's a lot of leaders that embrace the ego, and they get a lot of support. And from embracing the ego, and I'm wondering, is there something to be said for, because if, as you said, if you're just a needle, then people see you as a madman, and it's difficult to get support because people with some crookedness also like to see that crookedness in others. It's more relatable. So I see it as difficult to try to maintain this being a needle in this in, you know, the layperson's world. So how to approach this when others may have some crookedness around you, and it's easy to just, in order to gain their support, the easiest route is just to express some crookedness. So how to maintain
See others' crookedness due to your education. You are an innocent boy. Education made you mad. Sent through you this mill. And nothing you can see. You see your egotism and the fault finding with others. This is simply education. What you are losing is, you are gaining certificates and qualification. What you are losing is moral shame and moral fear. More you educate, less and less moral shame and the moral fear. It is called the conspiracy, or we call the hidden curriculum in the school. The hidden curriculum is more powerful than the open curriculum. And the moral education. Moral is completely eroded. We are born very, very sensitive, nature-loving people. Once you educated, finished. So it is not that the outside is crooked. You see through this mirror, you see these sunglasses because of your education. You can de-learn. You can deconstruct. That's what we call vipassana. Break you, smash you. Go to pieces like a Lego set. Blocks will be remaining, your handicraft, your artifact will be destroyed. Then you will be crying. What a nice thing I have created, this bloody fellow smashed it. So Buddha is smashing. That's why less people following Buddha. Other people are happy to have their own creation and see the climatic differences and people are not supporting me and I am a good creator. You are a bloody fool. Even the creator God is a fool. Buddha says if his people are telling creator and if he's created this world with the cheating and looting and lying, I don't call him a creator, he is a destroyer. He created the destruction. He created the friction. He created the suffering. And you can see my ignorance also almost like creator God. Whatever we create, make pollutions and make uncomfortable, unbecoming. And when your simple, childlike mind is still remaining, anytime you can go there. It is not a regression. It is a deconstruction, it's a de-learning process. Being with that your qualifications and everything, without claiming them, dissolving them, claim the beginner's mind. It is not destroyed. You have full potential. You have full possibility. Very aesthetic. You are just like a child. Childlike mind. And that is why we come to place like this. We don't care about the other's business. Be mindful and mind your own business. That's why I wrote a book. Be mindful and mind your own business. One person translated it into Singhala, a poetry. Picking some episodes and say, be here and now. Otherwise mind is either critical self or critical outside. So burning the candle from both the ends. We are doing it. But we try to see them immediately. As and when it happens, then you don't feel regret. You feel happy. You see, under the nose, we can see what is happening. What a fool am I? We are very happy to see the foolishness before that gets rotten. Then and there, fresh. Then you can see there are some enough people outside the world also with the same idea, looking, minding their own business, be here and now. They are all not Buddhist. We call conscious army. That army is working. That is why world is still in a balance. The everyone organized and crime. Organized criminals, weaponry, and destructive. But the simple person, conscious Swami, be here and now. And no one can find fault with us because we are using a needle, not a hook. No one can fight with us. No, they can laugh at us. But luckily we have Buddha. Luckily we have that lineage. They all try to use the needle. Very crooked, use a bait and put a hook into the water because we wish the smelly fish fishy. But if you wish no this thing, still you can be a fisherman, but with a hook. With a needle. You can just start. Right now start. Don't wait till you become the 1 year old, yet another new year, nothing. Here and now.
So, Swami Nand said, before we proceed, I'd just like to add some context to this sutta about why the devatas were finding fault with the Buddha. It says that, there's a note here that says, the commentary says that the devatas approached the Buddha thinking, the ascetic Gautama praises contentment with simple requisites to the bhikkhus, but he himself lives luxuriously. Daily he teaches the Dhamma to the multitude. His speeches go in one direction, his deeds in another. And the fact that the devatas address the Buddha while still hovering in the air is already a sign that they do not have respect for the Buddha.
So that the devata also, under the impression Buddha is in the luxurious and comfortable way and teaching about the middle path. But they also never come down, not to the ground, because their bodies are very subtle. So they can't sit like us. In one occasion, the Hattalavaka, one of the devatas, and he's very, very devoted person while he was a human. And then one day he come and ask question, but he can't stand. Because the body is so light, then Buddha says, create a gross body, then you can stand, you can sit. Then ask the question, I'll give the answer. So that is not their mistake, like a hot air. You can't come down. You can't come down. They are talking about the deep Dhamma. They don't have such an entity. They are non-local. They are not located. We can't see, no example, no, nothing to indicate, not manifested. Only the Buddha, they can come only to the Buddha. Buddha only can see them. Otherwise, people can't see, because they can see only something manifested, only collapsed into matter. They are not yet collapsed into matter, because they are floating. We feel like arrogant, but they are very poor fellows. They can't. That's why our leaders also go in helicopters, go in planes. But they can't go in the ground because they will shoot, other people will shoot them. They are going in helicopters. So therefore it is, we have to see it from due perspective and can understand. So devatas are there, the celestial beings are there. They cannot be visible, just like a holographic photo, three-dimensional. You can put the hand, but still that talk and everything is there. So something like that. So you also would have been, but we don't have memory. I am happy about that. We can take few minutes if there are no, how do you call, comments, we can sum up. Tava gata kiyatti na doge. So it's a long sutta. Next time we can start with the balance. And that is the end of today's discussion. Assuming there are no comments. So we'll give the mic to Venerable Dhammosada to conclude. Please.
Asahi Swami Nanse, very fortunate we are to be able to gather here so many years after the Buddha's Parinibbana, still discussing this subtle Dhamma, this Dhamma that leads to dispassion, this Dhamma that leads to the cessation of all sankharas and to Nibbana. And this being a meritorious deed, we would like to extend these merits to our teachers, to our parents, to all devas. May our relatives rejoice in these merits. May all devas rejoice in these merits. And may all celestial beings keep protecting this Dhamma and the Buddha Sasana for a long time. And may these seeds of Dhamma that we have received keep growing, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now I invite you all to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.